this episode of the Deep Freak Podcast. Somewhere in season three, kind of losing count here, but excited to be at Starnout High School here on site ahead of the big game tomorrow night between Starnout and Forbush on the basketball court. I'm joined today by Nicole Perdue and Matt Payne, coaches for the women's team here at Starnout. So I'll let you all go ahead and introduce yourselves, and we'll jump in. So Nicole, I'll let you go first.
I'm Nicole Perdue. I am originally from East Bend, North Carolina, and I went to Forbush. I've been the basketball coach here at Starmount. This is my third season, and Matt joined us about 3 years ago also.
Yep, right when you came. I'm Matt Payne. I'm from Boonville. I'm a Starmount grad, so this has always been home. And before, like, she's got her Forbush ties, I've got mine. Before she asked me to come over here, I coached at Forbush Middle. So tomorrow night's game is kind of interesting. The seniors at Forbush were my first group at Forbush Middle. So it's until we get out of this run of student athletes, this game's always kind of weird because once you play for me, you're always one of my girls. So
it's true. Definitely a lot of ties.
Yeah.
In this game, kind of both ways for sure. So just thinking back, so Nicole, you were a freshman when I was a senior back at Forbush, and Matt, we go. Yeah, I don't know how far back we go, but a good
ball,
ways.
Wild ball is, you know, 15 years ago.
Lots of evenings at the Y. So. And you guys are both a part of our church, so it's just awesome to see the ways everybody intertwines. So I think it's going to make for always for an interesting game, but definitely tomorrow night as well. So we'll dive in to our usual deep three questions. Then we'll talk a little bit more about the rivalry, about coaching, things of that nature. And I do have the usual three trivia questions for y'all to work together on. So this will be fun. Hoping y'all, two of you, can go three for three, but. So first, we'll start off with sports. Love sports. I think you guys are the same way. So Nicole, we'll start with you. What's your favorite sports memory?
I probably got two. One of them being my junior high school. We were playing basketball at Starmount, I believe, and I don't remember the exact score, but I know we beat them, and I hit two free throws in the final seconds to beat them. So that's a good one. And then my other one would have to be my senior year. We won the softball set championship. We were undefeated that year going into the championship. Actually lost to Charlotte Catholic and then had to beat them. And we beat them 1-0. And that's just a feeling that you don't forget it.
Let's just, I don't mind saying it. I'll be the one to say it. I'm not in coaching. Having to play Charlotte Catholic in a public high school thing is not fair.
No,
we played in soccer and we got whooped.
Not even that. Like, I didn't get to play them. It was the year after my senior year.
Yeah.
But Charlotte Catholic came here to play basketball against Victor in that group. And we were sitting behind the bench, and me and my buddy looked over and said, "Why is Dale Curry sitting over there?" And Steph came up here and lit us up. Yeah, he put probably 35 up that night. Right, but Steph Curry's played in this gym before.
Okay, we're gonna talk about Steph a little bit later today. So that very interesting. But yeah, that's just one of the things I've never seen as very fair. So kudos to the win. So and a Forbush win against Charlotte Catholic. Yeah. That's awesome. So all right, Matt, what's your favorite sports memory?
So personal, there's not one that sticks out because, you know, we never reached the goal that we were out to get. I got to play in a Final Four. It wasn't very pretty. We lost by a free throw. But the intensity of it was pretty special. And just to know that we made it that far. But sports in general, James, you know, I'm a big Cubs guy. So
yeah,
2016 World Series, that's for me. I was sitting, you know, the rain delay in that final game, I was sitting in my living room by myself, just almost in tears. Like, it was magic.
Long time coming for
that
one.
And I'm pretty lonely as a Cubs fan in this area. But,
sure.
You know, that's for me is that one. And, you know, we got a lot of Alabama championships I can look back on.
Yeah, that's like ho-hum, yeah, right?
Those are getting – they never get old, but it's, right. If you've seen one, you've seen them all.
There you go. Cubs thing, definitely special. I'm still waiting for my Texas Rangers to win the World Series. And, they should have about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And Nelson Cruz let the ball go over his head.
Yeah.
And we lost. So, anyway, now I don't want to digress to that on that too much.
Yankees.
Oh, my word. I don't know if we can keep doing this or not.
Cut it off.
Cut it off. We're done. Okay, so sports, we'll talk. We'll come back again to sports. We'll come back to basketball a good bit. But moving on to culture. So something you can't get enough of. This could be food. It could be a TV show. It could be a place you like to go. Nicole, what would be your thing right now?
I'm just going to go with all food. If anybody knows me from high school or even now, they joke around. Even today, we were out here eating lunch, and they're like, we're waiting on Nicole to go first. Anything food, people know me for my healthy appetite all my life pretty much. And then, of course, all things sports, anything sports related.
Okay, so if we're taking off from here right now to go somewhere to eat, and you're picking, where are we going?
The Village Tavern.
Oh, nice. Okay, what are you going to have?
What am I going to have? Probably some teriyaki chicken, maybe some collard greens. They have really good collard greens.
Okay.
Village Tavern. Yeah.
Haynes Mall or Rinalda? It doesn't matter.
This time of year, I'd go to Rinalda.
Yeah.
But any other time, I'd go to Haynes Mall.
Okay, all right. Good choices right there. All right, Matt, what about you?
Mine's kind of weird because it's not anything new, but, you know, this time of year, getting time to spend with my kids is pretty slim. So the time that I do get to spend with it, like, I'm super into teaching Knox, like, Beatles music right now.
Okay.
Like, letting her listen. She, like, you've heard her at church.
Mm-hmm.
She sings every Sunday. Right. And right now her song is Yellow Submarine.
Oh,
but,
sweet.
Like, yeah. So, like, but teaching her just everything, like, I've promised her this week that we're going to go see Spider-Man sometime this week. But spending time with her and finding things in culture that I can allow her, you know, because there's a lot that, you know, I'm trying to keep away from her.
But, yeah, for sure.
to find stuff to do with her.
Right.
So she loves all the Marvel movies, all the superhero stuff. The little Spider-Man thing on Disney right now, the Spider, Spidey and his friends.
Okay, I haven't seen this.
That's what we're into right
okay.
now. Yeah.
So I'll digress here for a second. You bring this up, Nicole. I know that I see a lot of things that you post in regards to this. Like, Matt, I know your kids are younger, but, like, what's it like being a parent and a coach? I mean, your son's in the gym shooting hoops right now, right? So, like, how has that been? Maybe difficult, but also something special to kind of have your kid grow up with you coaching?
That's honestly one of my favorite things about coaching. I coach at the middle school some too, and so he's grown up around it. He's had no choice but to be a gym rat. But he will actually be in seventh grade next year, and so he'll be at the middle school. And so he told me the other day, he's like, I don't get to come practice with you anymore. Like, so this is kind of it. I mean, the seniors last year when they graduated, he was tore up.
Yeah.
Tore up. He gets close to them, and they treat him like a sibling. But it's also hard because you're torn. Like, you feel guilty because you're at practice till this time, and I should be at home doing this. But like I said, it's been wonderful having him here with me because I don't feel as much guilt knowing he's right here with me.
Yeah.
And
even with Knox, you know, she's just four, but we, you know, me and Nicole are lucky that the group of girls we have really embraced our kids.
Yeah.
And my wife appreciates that Knox can sit in the student section with the girls during the games and not have, I mean, we did have to chase her down the other day, but, you know, they do such a good job with Knox and they, you know, Riley comes in and plays with us a little bit and we give him a hard time. So it's for them to embrace our children. It is one of our favorite parts. And you know, I don't want to jump ahead, but like that's what I want. I want to teach teach them well enough that I'm not that I'm not afraid to say, hey, Knox, go with her. Because I know that, you know, that Knox is going to be good. Like, she's going to be safe. She's going to be taught the right things if they have to give direction, you know.
Sure. So that's awesome. That's so cool. All right. Last thing in our deep three is faith. Faith being an important part for each of us. So, Nicole, what's something God's teaching you right now?
I thought long and hard about this question, and I'm going to say something that he has taught me recently and is still teaching me is to be in constant prayer. Prayer's been something that's gotten me through some pretty dark days in my life. Often we don't consistently pray until something isn't going in our favor.
Sure.
But he's taught me to pray through the hills and the valleys that I have going on in life. And then the second thing is giving. I've been blessed in a ton of ways in my life, with a wonderful family, friends, a roof over my head, just things like that. And I love to give back when I can. I love even more involving my own kid and the team when we have the opportunity. I think it's contagious, at least I hope it is.
For sure.
And I think you spoke on this at church one time, and I know Brent did. And I put it on my Facebook post at one point. So God sees your heart, live authentically. I believe he wants us to give, but I also believe he wants us to give silently.
For sure.
Without hope of getting praise or reward for it. And I hope we both convey that to the girls.
That's good. All right, Matt, what about you? What's God teaching you?
Right now, I didn't know that she was going to talk about prayer, but Nick had preached a message, and if I was smart, I would have went back and looked it up, but I can't. I didn't. Maybe you can help me. But he talked about, I think it was like, was there a series about like how to pray? Is that ringing a bell to me? Like, or did I watch somebody else?
I know there was a dangerous prayers one. He definitely did.
Maybe that was it.
Flames on the hands.
Maybe.
And stuff like that.
But like, the message was, God answers all prayers.
Like, oh, yeah.
God answers all prayers. And sometimes that answer is going to be no.
Right.
And that's what he's teaching me right now is that there's stuff that I want, but I don't need it.
Mm.
And he doesn't need it.
You know? Right.
So that's what's going on right now. So
keep praying.
Yeah.
Keep seeking. Keep knocking.
Even. Yeah. Yeah.
You're not getting the answer you think you
and
need.
And recognize it when it's not there.
That's good. That's good. All right. Good stuff right there, the deep three. So before we transition into talking a little bit more about Forbush Stormout and coaching, trivia questions. So these are somewhat related. Now they're pulling their phones out, right? I'm gonna find some answers here. If you're able to in a quick time frame figure out the first question on Google, I will be highly impressed. I will say that. But give you a little bit of hints as you're thinking through these. They're somehow related to one of y'all or both of you or what we're going to talk about. Right. So there is a tie-in. Even with this first question, you're like, what in the world? How are you even? There is no tie-in. I will make one, okay? So first question, and I'm just going to ask it. If you need some help, here, just let me know. Here we go. What is the name of the diner or cafe that Jerry and his friends frequent in Seinfeld?
Oh, goodness.
Mills? No, what is Mills? Oh, Mills is at Dollywood. It looks like that diner, though.
I'm thinking. I know the answer to this.
Yeah, I don't know. I hardly watch Seinfeld.
Husband's going to kill me because he loves Seinfeld.
Yeah, but
I've been watching a lot of my house here lately, too.
Tom's. Is it Tom's?
Tom's Restaurant. That is the real name. Yeah, in the show, apparently it's Monk's Cafe. This actually is a place in Manhattan. When Anna and I went up to New York 3 or 4 years ago, we actually went there. It's a reasonably priced place. I mean, it's cheap, really. We have breakfast out there. So, Monk's Cafe or Tom's Restaurant. So, any idea what the tie-in is?
Not a clue.
It's a definite stretch here, okay? So, Matt, you'll remember this. Nicole, maybe you don't know if you're big, as big of a music fan as Matt is. Susan Vega.
Yeah.
Tom's Diner.
It's all over. They play that on, what is it? It's 90s on 9 on the series.
Yeah.
I almost on the hour.
So that song actually was written in, 82. And then it's Susan Vega and DNA is the remix. Yeah, that song that you know. Okay, but still we got to take another step.
Which one of y'all is the biggest music?
It's close.
It'll be close.
It'll be real close.
Yeah.
One of these days we'll play some rock and roll trivia.
Yeah.
So, Susan Vega went to Barnard College, which is a women's college, which Nicole went to Meredith.
That's a stretch.
How about a stretch? I mean, come on.
Six degrees in the culprit.
There you go. That is definitely a stretch. Nicole played some ball there. So what's a good memory from Meredith?
I can't tell you where Meredith was right now.
Oh, come on. It's right across from Mississippi State.
No, I really don't.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I went to team camp at NC State. Still didn't see it.
I guess it'd probably be playing for Coach Hatchell. His wife was actually the women's coach, Carolina, so that was who my coach
really?
Was the first 2 years I was there. Yeah, Carl.
Okay.
Sammy is people like to call him. Mm-hmm. I can remember we were now it's D3, okay, so we were doing a full court layup drill, and she's coached Marion Jones.
Oh yeah.
So we're doing full court layup drill, and he's telling us we should get to the end of the court and one dribble. Marion Jones can do it, and we're all like,
Marion Jones,
Marion Jones, Olympic champion, track and field. Yeah.
And you're talking about Marion Jones.
Yeah.
We'll be good with 2 or 3. We're all right.
There you go. All right. So okay, that was a little bit of a stretch, but you got 1 for 1 on that, right? So here we go. Second one. When was the 3-pointer introduced in basketball? I've got a lot of years. If you get any, I'm gonna give you credit for it.
So Magic and Larry had it, so it was before 80.
That's
NBA?
Correct.
NBA?
Well, the NBA had it, and Matt is correct that the NBA had it before 80. It actually was 1979, which was Magic and
Larry's Final Four. Yeah,
it was their rookie year was the first year they had 3-point line.
That's right. The 1979 championship was Indiana State, Michigan State.
So in that fall when they started NBA, that was the 3-point line started.
Yeah.
So I'll give you this: it was in the ABA before that.
Yeah.
And actually in the ABL,
that was
American Basketball League.
Wasn't that a plot point of that Will Ferrell movie? the ABA?
I don't know about that.
It was the alley-oop. They invented the alley-oop.
Okay. So ABL, American Basketball League, started. It's legal and lasted for a year and a half. In 1961, they had a 3-point shot. Okay, and I saw something, I think it was ABL, not the ABA, which had it again in 1967. Somebody hit a four-court shot, they were down by two, and it was beginning of the season, and they had forgotten that they had a 3-point shot. So they're we tied the game.
You won.
You actually won the game.
Yeah.
So 67 ABA, and in 1976, the NBA and ABA merged, but the NBA didn't get the 3-point line until 79. 1986, it came to the NCAA. In 1987, it came to high school. And we just saw Steph Curry, aforementioned, break the NBA record. Was he got 2,974?
Yeah, something
ridiculous. And he's just going to keep playing for a while more. So I guess question with that, how has, since y'all started, I think I'm jumping ahead, but I'm going to hit this. Since y'all started playing or coaching, or when you played, how has the game changed, and how have y'all seen? Maybe is it different for the women's game? I'm just going to call it the Steph Curry influence on basketball, where there's a lot of emphasis on threes, or is it not as big of a difference in the women's game?
I wouldn't say it would be here. Our philosophies kind of match up a little bit. We want to run. We want to get paint touches. So for us, no. And sometimes it depends on, you know, who walks through the door.
Right.
But and I would, you know, I don't want to step out of line, but I would say even for the guys, I don't think that, you know, they're throwing up a bunch of threes just because they see a dude on TV do it.
Right.
And it takes discipline to do that, and I think that's an attribute that we instill, boys and girls. They could throw up a bunch of threes. Are they going to make them? No. There's only a handful of guys that can do that.
Right.
So I don't know of any changes.
He's trying to say I'm old, and he's older than I am.
I didn't know. Yeah, that is true. I am older, but just curious. Like, I feel like the game has changed a lot
on TV. And maybe it is because we're getting older. It's like, I don't want to watch that. I want to watch Bob Knight's motion offense. That's what I want to watch. That gives me enjoyment watching that.
Right.
Six good passes before a layup. You know, sure. But. I think that she made fun of me the other day because I installed a play that we ran while I was a junior in high school, you know, 100 years ago.
Did it work?
It's worked to an extent.
Okay.
You're reaching for secret ingredients over here.
Okay.
It served a purpose. Okay. Let's say that.
Okay. Nicole, what do you think as far as, you know, do you think, man, is anything that the girls come in doing, or, and you're like, man, I wish that's just, and you ever realize, like, okay, the game is a little different, or do you feel like it's pretty much the same from, you know, the 90s, low 2000s to now?
I think it's pretty much the same. The one thing, and this is going to sound silly, but the knee pads and the sleeves and we just didn't really wear any of that. In basketball season, my legs were ugly. Bruises, scrapes, everything. And now it's like, you got to be covered up. You're not going to get on the floor unless you got your gear on.
It's like back in the 70s, probably, everybody was probably wearing knee pads and cushions. They went to nothing when we played, mm-hmm. and now it's like, there is padding, but it's not like so obvious. Yeah. It's like massive, but everybody, it does kind of have that that protection. But I'm trying to think. You're like women's game, men's game. I feel like at the foul line, and it seems to be fundamentals. Mm-hmm. I feel like girls are better. Do you feel like that's the case? And is there a reason for that?
Go ahead.
if you watched us play, sometimes our free throw percentage is good. Sometimes, what was it? North Surrey?
6 for 32.
Everybody has.
Needless
their face.
To say, we shot free throws the next day.
Yeah, it was bad. Fundamentals is, and it's weird for me being the only guy on the coaching staff of, you know, most of the time I'm in the gym with 25 girls and just me and Riley. And so the things I want to do and things that, you know, the way I see basketball isn't the way she sees it sometimes.
Sure.
So I think boys, men's basketball is more fluid. But it also means it's more sloppy. It can get that way.
Sure.
And you're talking about the fundamental parts. It's a level of maturity. When you learn that I catch on my right foot and pivot with my left and drop step, and I've got position. That comes with reps and maturity and the ability to recognize I'm in this position, what do I do next? And I think with guys, you know, girls mature faster in every facet
for sure.
of life. So with guys, it's like, get the ball and go. Get the ball, put it in the basket.
Right.
However it goes, it's got to go to the basket. But the fundamental parts of it is a maturity thing, and I think girls grasp it faster.
Okay. All right. That's a good point there for sure. All right. So I'll give you, Matt, you throwing out knowing that the rookie year of Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, I'm going to leave you credit for that one. Okay, that's great. All right, so last one. Who leads the UNC Duke men's basketball series?
Oh, man, you talked about this last year.
Is it tied?
Yeah, they always say, I'll give this the last couple, the last 68 games, it's 34-34. Yeah, yeah. I don't even know if that's legit or not, but no, it's not tied.
Well, you're not going to give us a question that says Duke's ahead.
Exactly so right.
Carolina's ahead by one or two.
Carolina's actually up 141 to 114.
Yeah. Oh, that's a lot bigger than I thought.
So Carolina's up by 27 right now. So yeah. It'll take a while.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Duke won't catch up, but I hope it's after my time.
Yeah.
Right. So with that being said, we'll transition into rivalries. What do you guys think? What's the best rivalry in sports?
Iron Bowl.
That was a good one this year, too. It was, yeah. I don't know how Bryce Young let that drive.
I'm going to say Starmount Four Motion, Duke and Carolina, and in that order.
There you go. All right.
No, not really, but Duke and Carolina is always the one for me. But I pull for Duke.
Unfortunate.
I know. Yeah.
Yankees, we done here. Yankees and Duke.
Yeah. Dallas Cowboys, you like the Redskins, right?
What are we doing here?
Yeah.
Football team.
Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah. You're oil and water.
Okay.
And I'm the exact opposite of everybody else.
Yeah.
That has no dog in any fight.
All right. So, okay. Those are some good rivalries we mentioned. What makes for a good rivalry?
I think it's proximity.
Okay.
Bragging rights.
Yeah. The fact that, we're all three a part of the community.
Right.
But y'all two are from Four Bush, I'm from Starmount. But yet, we're still, we still work together. We still do things together. Me and you hang out together. But when it comes down to that Friday night or that football game, that basketball game, like, there's a line drawn.
Yeah.
It's just like I told you at church, Sunday morning, everybody's wearing red and green. We're having our Christmas service, and I'm not wearing red. So I'm not doing it. I wore an orange and blue flannel shirt to church.
Well, they were giving out cuts.
Yeah.
And when we got out of there, I was like, Riley, what color did you get? He's like, I think I got green. And I got green, and Matt got green. So we were
not red.
I'm not wearing red.
So proximity, that's what I said, bragging rights, small town, you're going to see a lot of people until the next game.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's not necessarily that. I'll say that one of the best, I liked it when the app was in the 1AA.
Yeah.
And, Black Saturday was always Georgia Southern.
Right.
That was a real good rivalry. Georgia Southern's fell off.
Sure.
In the past couple of years, but when App was making that run through 1AA, that Georgia Southern was always that game, and so the proximity doesn't have to be like that, but it's who's in your way every year to get to your goal, and which doesn't make any sense for Starmount and Four Bush because
not anymore.
We're not. This is just a
same, different conference,
yeah,
different,
yeah.
1A, 2A,
yeah.
So it's not quite what it,
yeah,
what it used to be.
But
I feel like some years, too, you can throw the records out the window.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
for sure.
For any sport when the two play,
yeah,
each other.
Go back to when we played. Like I said, the year we went to the Final Four, I'll be honest, we're – my 4 years here at Starmount, I never beat Four Bush. Went undefeated on a conference season 1 year, went to a Final Four, went to a district. We
still lost.
Yeah, we never beat Four Bush. Still looking for it.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
We haven't. We we haven't won since we got here. And it was weird because even when I coached at Forbush Middle School, it took me a long time to beat Starmount. I don't have a winning record against Starmount at Forbush Middle School. So
the time's coming.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Turn it around. Cole, you didn't even say Yankees and Red Sox as a Yankees.
You're right.
You feel like Yankees just dominate, right?
I can't even
Yankees,
speak of
Yankees
this.
Yankees just dominate them, right? Too much.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So definitely a rivalry game. I'm looking forward to being there tomorrow, taking my girls to watch too. So kind of transition a little bit to talking a little bit about that game. Y'all tell me a little bit about your team. You know, some of the players for those people there to be watching for, what if some things that you guys have got going for you this season. What are we looking at when we see the Starmount Lady Rams step on the court tomorrow?
Okay, let's see. So for the past few years, honestly, it's been a rebuild here.
Sure.
For the last, I'm going to say 8 to 10 years, it's not been very positive. So I tell them, you know, baby steps. But I also want them to know, we've harped on this all week and since the season started, the same Starmount team of the last 8 to 10 years is not the same Starmount team that you're going to see
right
from here on out, I hope. And I'm pleading the fifth on the rest.
Yeah. Well, I'll state the obvious is that it's been one-sided, and she's right. It's things are changing. And go back toward, you know, what makes a good rivalry. If you watch two separate game films, not a full-bush Starmount game, but if, you know, one of our games and then one of theirs, completely mm-hmm. different team. Or even if we played the same mutual team. We like to do a lot of things that they want to run. We want to run. It's defense first and get out and go.
Right.
And so maybe that's what makes a good rivalry too, is, you know, if you're kind of alike.
Sure. Yeah.
Now we haven't been in the past. It's been one-sided for a while now, but I think we're turning the page.
Right.
And we're getting there. Simple coach speak, TV speak.
Sure, sure.
Whoever wins turnovers.
Okay.
That's it.
Take
care of the ball. Whoever wins turnovers. And
at the same token, force them to
have
turnovers.
Yeah.
It makes sense because that allows you to get out and run, which is what you want to do. And I'd say probably on the opposite end, you don't want live ball turnovers.
No.
You don't want turnovers that lead to layups. No. So that makes sense. So that is good coach speak. Play good defense.
Yeah.
And don't turn the ball over.
Defense first, take care of the ball.
I feel like against that'll get you somewhere in most games, unless you just can't throw one in the basket.
Yeah.
I watched the Hornets last night. They get paid millions of dollars. They cannot throw the ball in the basket.
Yeah.
It was bad. I love the Hornets.
It
sometimes it happens. So I like that. So looking forward to that game tomorrow. So transitioning kind of our last thing, and this is something that I know you both have mentioned, like even in us talking right now, kind of the legacy that you all want to leave here at Starmount, you know, whatever may come in your future in coaching and teaching as well. So Nicole, I'll start with you. What do you want your players to say about you, like years after they have played for you? Maybe they come back for a game and see you, or see you out in public. What do you want them to take away from their time playing for you?
So I actually cheated on this question because one of our assistants is a former player of mine. So I asked her today, what her words would be, and she told me, she said that you made us better people outside of the sport you coached. We learn more than just skills of how to make a good pass and a good shot. We learn life skills from you. And I want them to, I guess the kind of legacy I want to leave, I want to leave it better than when I got here, just like anything else I would do, not just here, but anything. And I want them to know me as a compassionate, caring coach who always cared more about them than I did myself. That's sometimes hard for them to see.
Yeah, in the moment.
In the 4 years that they're here. But hopefully when they leave here, they'll look back and see that.
I think the fact that you've got a former player who's, you know, coaching says a lot, that they care for you and they want to be around you and be a part of the program that they were a part of as a player as well. So Matt, what would you say?
We talked at the end of practice today about and I stole this from a coach on YouTube, and, you know, it was something completely different. I just took it a different direction. We just play. Like, and it's the simplest three words, and when you first hear it, it's like, what was he talking about? But we just play. I want them to be able to control what they can control, and that's it. And that's not just in basketball. It has to go beyond that. So my experience here at Star Mount, I got a good education. I'm not saying anything bad about any educators that I've come across here at Star Mount while I was a student. But I learned so much more in that gym over there than I did in the classroom. Like, life lessons and, you know, hard work, dedication. And if they can take that from our direction, leaving here, that's success to me. Is control what you can control, work hard, be dedicated, show up.
Good. Yeah, that's definitely going far outside of sports, you know. I like that. We just play. Like, all you can control is what you can control.
Yeah.
In all aspects of life, for sure. So, kind of along those same lines, Nicole, what kind of legacy would you want to leave at the school? You know, are there goals and dreams and aspirations you have as a coach for your program here?
I mean, I'm a huge competitor, and the last few years have been very difficult. I want to win.
Right.
I want to leave here with a winning record whenever I decide to leave here. I want them to know that when they leave, they can come back. We talked earlier. Julianne Prim was in here today. I coached her probably, how old's Riley? 12 years ago, I guess. And just knowing that she can come back in here, like, that means a lot. She, you know, just shoot me a text and say, hey, what time are you practicing? I want them to know that we're always there for them. And it's bigger than basketball. It's not just about winning, but it's bigger than basketball.
Winning helps.
It does help.
And she's being real modest when she talks about that. She took a team that was 0-24. To the state playoffs the very next year. She's made a difference already. She's not gonna say it though.
She's not.
Oh, there you go. I took a team that was 2-12. 0-14, and we went 12-2 the next year.
Yeah.
Pride and Joy's the coaching future sister in law, Courtney. Elementary. That was a good time. So, yeah. Well, being humble is a good quality.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Nicole's already building that legacy here,
yeah.
Right? For sure. All right, so we've kind of been all around this, but maybe thinking of like kind of a last parting thought or thoughts you want to have. What are things that are important for you two to instill in your players, both on and off the court? Again, we've kind of been all through this, but maybe there's one thing that you want to. As people finish listening, like, this is the thing that's going to stick with me and the thing that you really want to stick with your players as their time here is over.
For me, it's hard work and dedication. If you want something, I want them to know that you're going to have to work for it. It's not going to be given to you, whether it's this ball game tomorrow or 10 years down the road when they're looking for a job, or they've got to have – you can't coach that. It's just got to be in you, I guess. And that's,
yeah.
And I also want them to have compassion for others. Now, they don't have to go out here and be real, real nice during the ball game, but I want them to have compassion for others. And that's what we've tried to do, too, with, like, getting out in the community and letting them see that it's not always good. Like,
right.
There's people who don't have what they have, and bigger than basketball to me.
And you guys came out to our Christmas Blessings toy store last weekend, and we surely appreciate that. That was good for
y'all, good for them.
Yeah.
So, all right, Matt, what about you? Things you want to make sure to instill in these girls?
Yeah, going back to we just play, just control what you can control. Like, there's a lot of things in life you can't control. And if you let it get to you, then it'll suffocate you. So control what you can control and be in control as you do it.
That's good.
They get tired of hearing me say this because I harp on it all the time, but I tell them to play every game like it's their last, and I always go back 2020. Like,
yeah,
we've got seniors. So I mean, they were done. Like,
right.
We were out of school. They were done. And I'm like, it can be taken from you at any point in time. I mean, you've take advantage of every opportunity. And my seniors and even my juniors, I mean, they get it. I mean, they understand.
Yeah. These kids who have kind of, a lot of them have lost important parts of their high school careers, or not even just in sports, but things that they haven't got to experience.
Yeah.
So I think that they'd be hard-pressed to not remember that, but, you know, that's not really true. People, we forget things so quickly of how they've been. So that's definitely definitely a good point. So we've done it, Nicole. You've made it. Did a great job. So what's game time tomorrow? I know it's all approximate.
JV started at 4.
Yeah, JV started.
JV girls at 4.
My girls will start at 4. JV boys right after. Varsity girls.
I'd say 6.
Say about 6.
So come out for an afternoon and evening of basketball.
Come out, stay a while.
What better can you do? Kids are on school break.
Yeah.
Hey, come on out, do Fort Wilson Watch. See Nicole's jersey in the rafters. In the rafters?
Yeah. It's
somewhere.
It's in my house right now.
Okay, but retired. Yeah. Retired jersey. So thank y'all so much for what you do for the community, for the girls here, for your students, for all that y'all do, and for allowing me to lug my gear in here to Starmount and talk to you guys a little bit today. I appreciate you both a whole lot. And
thanks for coming to the dark side.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote it in your little cards, and we'll say it. It's hard for me to say this, but good luck in your game tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right?
We appreciate it.
So,
I know you really don't mean it, but it's okay.
I mean, I hope it's a great game.
I'm just kidding.
So, all right. Thank y'all so much. Thank y'all for listening.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next time.